chapter 5, book of John, chapter 5. I'd like to read the first 9 verses. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is a Jerusalem by the sheep market, or the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these, that is, in these 5 porches, lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been there now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. While I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. These verses, of course, describe one of the many healing miracles of Jesus Christ, and as we've said many times, these are full of instruction, full of direction, full of encouragement. What is written here, we see from verse 1, occurred during a feast of the Jews, though there's nothing said to indicate which of the feast this was, so obviously it doesn't matter. The scene of what is recorded here is a particular pool in Jerusalem. We read that in verses 1 and verse 2. This pool was called Bethesda, meaning mercy, and it adjoined the sheep market, or the sheep market was simply the gate through which the sacrificial animals were brought into the temple, and it would have been to the north of the temple. This pool called Bethesda had 5 porches, or 5 covered places, not porches as you and I would necessarily think of a porch, but 5 covered places. In these 5 porches, there were congregated a multitude of ailing people, a multitude of people debilitated by disease. And we see that in verse 3. They are described as impotent, that is, they are physically weak, physically feeble, just disabled by whatever disease they had. And he mentioned a few. He refers to the blind, refers to the halt, that is, the lame. He refers to the withered, that is, those who had some kind of paralysis. So as you picture this scene, it is a very sad and pitiful scene, very sad and pitiful sight. And the reason these people are congregated there is because an angel on occasion would come and stir the waters of the pool. And the first one to enter the pool after the stirring would be healed. So these people are basically waiting around this pool for something to happen. They're just waiting there for something to happen. Jesus came among this multitude, and we read in verse 5, there was a certain man was there. And Jesus came for this particular individual. We are told specifically that Jesus saw him, that is, he took special notice of him, not that he didn't see the others. He saw him lie, that is, he saw him lying there in his condition. He knew that he had been in that case for a long time. He knew everything about this individual. And there in verse 6, he asked the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Now we've, since I've been here, have preached 5 messages from this chapter. We've viewed it as a type of salvation. There's just so much here, and certainly this is a type of salvation. The message we want to preach today, we have already preached here before. So it is a rerun, if you will. You probably didn't get it the first time, so maybe you'll get it the second time. If I were to preach it tonight, many still wouldn't get it. But hopefully someone will. I want to speak today on the subject of stuck at the pool. And we want to apply it to God's people. Sad to say, as God's people assemble throughout the United States today, this multitude that we read of in John chapter 5 is pretty descriptive of many of the assemblies today. Very descriptive. We're going to look, first of all, at the condition of this man. We see in verse 5 that he had an infirmity. He had a physical infirmity. He was very feeble. He was in a weakened condition. He was in a condition of failing health. He was in a state of debilitation and decay. In verse 7, he is also referred to as an impotent man, which simply means that he was disabled by his disease. And he was not getting any better. And what was true physically of this man is true of some spiritually. They are spiritually feeble. They are spiritually weak. Their spiritual health is failing. They have, to some degree, been debilitated and disabled spiritually. In other words, they are in a state of spiritual decay. This particular man had been in this physical condition for 38 years. 38 years is a long time to suffer. I realize that time goes very rapidly, but I have a feeling if you were this man, these 38 years didn't go so quick. Kind of just dragged along. For 38 years, this man had been an invalid. For 38 years he'd been crippled, unable to stand, unable to walk, unable to run, unable to live the life that he desired to live, unable to live like others lived. And how sad the words are there in verse 6. He had been now a long time in that case or in that condition. Now the Bible does not say at what point in this man's life he became infirm. Most assume that he's been this way all his life, but I don't believe you can assume that. We have, the man may be 55 years old. I don't know. He maybe is 38. None of that really matters. The point is, he'd been in that condition for 38 years. And I don't care what condition an individual might be in, but you get in the same condition for 38 years and you're going to get accustomed to that condition. You're going to learn to live with that condition. And that's where we are today. I see in this man, the spiritual life of some of God's people. Their lives are sick. They are paralyzed spiritually in heart and in mind. And their lives are dysfunctional. And the truth is, they've been a long time in that case. And the sad truth is, they've, to some degree, become accustomed to being spiritually feeble. They become accustomed to being spiritually weak. They've become accustomed to failing spiritual health. They become accustomed to being disabled and in a state of spiritual decay. Many today are crippled by fear. Some are crippled by worry. Others are crippled by guilt from unconfessed sin and unforsaken sin. Some are crippled with bitterness. Some are crippled with an unforgiving spirit. Some are crippled with envy. Some are crippled with selfishness, self-will, pride, and unbelief. And many have been that way for, just like this man, a long time. They go through their day in that condition, and they've been doing so for some time. Secondly, we see that this man was surrounded by people basically just like him. You ever notice that? People usually surround themselves with people in similar circumstances to themselves. And that is very true spiritually also. This man was surrounded by others who were in the same or worse shape than he was. They didn't offer him any comfort. Didn't offer him any help. They couldn't help him. Just like him, they were disabled. Just like him, they were shackled in their own prisons. And they could not help him. For they needed helping themselves. And I'm sure as they conversed with each other, they shared their gloom. That didn't help. But they shared their stories of pity. And they shared their disappointments and they shared their hopelessness. And to some degree, no doubt, they pulled each other further into despair and despondency. But I want you to notice that this man's, not only did he have a physical problem, but this man's mental state was all wrong. In verse 6, Jesus asked him a question that required a yes or no answer. Wilt thou be made whole? Are you willing to be made whole? That's the question. Now that is a yes or no answer. But notice the man's response. The impotent, in verse 7, the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool." He didn't answer the question. The question is, are you willing to be made whole? Secondly, he says, "But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." So Jesus asked him a question that requires a yes or no answer. Read all the way through, the man never answered the question. He never answered the question. But instead, he responded with a complaint. He responded with a complaint about his condition. He responded with a complaint about his circumstances. But he never answered the question. And I believe this man's response reveals some further things about this individual. And again, this is descriptive of the condition, the spiritual condition of many of God's people. If I were to take each one aside separately and say, "Are you right with God?" I would get very few yes or no answers. I would get answers like this man gave. And that's true everywhere you go. He never answered the question. If I were to ask the question, "Do you want to be spiritually better in a specific area of your life?" Again, I would get very few yes or no answers. I wouldn't get any no answers because folks aren't that honest. My point is, very few would answer the question. Very few. So, when this man answered the question, or gave his response to the question in verse 7, his response reveals some things. His response reveals a degree of self-pity. He tells Jesus how unfortunate he is. Jesus didn't ask him that. He asked him, "Do you want to be made better?" He tells Jesus, he begins to list his troubles. And heading the list is, "Lord, I have no man. There's nobody that will help me." Jesus didn't ask him if he had anybody to help him. But that was his first response. "I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool." This is tragic. And as we look at this man and listen to him, You cannot help but feel sorry for him. I have no man. That is, Lord, I'm all alone in this world. That's not what Jesus asked him. Jesus asked him, do you want to be made better? But he said, I have no man. I'm here, I'm all alone. Perhaps all his family had died. Perhaps his family had deserted him. We don't know. But he simply said, I have no man. Lord, I'm crippled. Lord, I'm lonely. But I see a degree of self-pity. I have nobody. And yet standing right there was somebody that could help him. And the one who could help him said, do you want to be made better? And the only thing that came to this man's mind is, I don't have anybody. I'm all alone. Self-pity. That will get you stuck at the pool. Feeling sorry for yourself will not make you better. I don't care what your problem is. Feeling sorry for yourself isn't going to make it better. You'll remain stuck at the pool for the rest of your life. Just answer the question. Do you want to be made better? If you are spiritually feeble, spiritually weak, spiritually failing, and spiritually disabled, it's easy to have a pity party. It's easy to feel sorry for yourself. That won't make you whole. Secondly, his response reveals that he views himself to some degree as a victim. He says, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, on the occasions that I have been able to get help or to work my way to the pool, while I'm coming, someone else steps in front of me. And I'm a victim. In other words, Lord, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. Because I don't have anybody to put me into the pool. And the few times that the opportunity has arisen, somebody else stepped in front of me. Yeah, I've been an invalid for 38 years, but it's not my fault. It's all those people's fault that stepped in front of me. Had he not stepped in front of me, I would have been made whole, but he stepped in front of me. If I would have had just somebody to put me in, I would have been made whole, but I have nobody. He's a victim. And we live, of course, in a society that is a victim. And that is translated over into spiritual conditions as well. Jesus asked a yes or no question. Are you willing to be made better? Are you willing to be made better? And this man basically responded with, it's not my fault. And there are people sitting here right now. You are in terrible spiritual shape, and in your mind, it's not your fault. This man, his attitude is, this is the way it is. I can't be healed. Nobody will put me in the pool. If I finally find someone who will put me in the pool, somebody else steps in before me. Nothing goes right for me. Don't you see, Lord, it's not my fault. And there are many today that are in the same condition. They are victims. And it's not their fault. I used to serve God. You know what? I'm not interested in what you used to do. Really not. Oh, I used to serve God. I mean, there wasn't anybody more faithful than me. But brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so said something. And the reason I'm backslidden today, and the reason I'm in the condition I'm in today, it's not my fault. But it is your fault. But it is. Well, you know, I used to like to come to church. I used to be excited about coming to church. But that preacher, he doesn't preach right. And it's not my fault. Or that Sunday school teacher, or that song leader, or so-and-so, they don't do it right. So it's not my fault. You'll be stuck at the pool the rest of your life. You might as well get used to living there, because that's where you're staying. If that's your attitude. This was the attitude of this individual. He never answered the question. I can't shake this bad habit. I've got this habit of whatever, drinking, drugs, or whatever. But you don't understand. I inherited that from my parents. You don't understand the way I was raised. In other words, it's not my fault. You'll be stuck at that pool the rest of your life. That's where you'll live. And this man was stuck at the pool. Read his answer in verse 7. And doesn't it sound like he's almost saying, Lord, I can't get better, because it's like everybody's against me. It's like everything is against me. I've got bad luck. There's no shortage of excuses today. Just when I think I've heard them all, someone will come up with a new one. There's no shortage. There's no shortage. People like to play the role of the victim. But that will not help you spiritually. Thirdly, this man's response reveals that, seems to me, that he had given up hope. He says, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. While I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Those words seem to say, again, it's a yes or no question. But his answer seems to say, I've lost hope. You see, year after year, I've seen my hopes and dreams shattered. I got close to the pool. I got all so close. And I could just picture myself walking, and then somebody else stepped in front of me. My dreams were shattered. And what's the use? I've given up hope. It's almost as if he's saying, I've tried. I've tried to get to the pool. I've tried to get people to help me, but it never works. I've tried, I've tried, I've tried. What's the use? And many, we'll use that line. Oh, I've tried. But if you really examine it, they really haven't. How often we try to change situations in our own strength, our own wisdom. Takes me a while to learn some things. But every time I do something my own strength, my own wisdom, it gets worse. Every time. He had the attitude that things will never change. That's the condition of many of God's people today. Things will never change. What's the use? And that'll get you stuck at the pool. If that's where you want to live, then develop the attitude of this man. His response reveals that he was focused upon the wrong things. There are three things that this man was definitely focused upon. Keep in mind, standing right in front of him is Jesus Christ. Standing right in front of him is the one who can make his life better. But he's focused on some other things. I see, first of all, that he's focused entirely upon the problem. Entirely focused upon the problem. The problem is this. Whenever the water is stirred and I try to get in, either nobody will help me or somebody else gets there before me. He stated what he perceived to be the problem. Jesus didn't ask him what his problems were. Jesus just said, "Do you want to be better?" Just like with blind Bartimaeus. Jesus didn't ask Bartimaeus, "Are you blind?" He said, "Bartimaeus, wilt thou receive thy sight? Or what would you have me to do for you?" He stated the problem. But the Lord was interested in his desires. "Wilt thou be made whole?" You know what happens when I focus upon a problem rather than the solution as I get stuck at the pool? It's easy to focus upon a problem when the solution is standing right in front of us, Jesus Christ. This man also was focused upon the past and judged the present by the past. He had been shoved aside year after year and neglected by those who perhaps could have helped him. And he focused upon all of those times that someone else stood in front of me. All of those times that no one would help me get to the pool. He was focused upon the past. He was focused upon his disappointments. He was focused upon not having anyone help him. And he judged the present. There are many that do that as well. This happened 10 years ago. Because that happened 10 years ago, this is how it is today. And they judge the present by the past. He was focused upon a physical solution. He's focused upon the pool. "I have no man to put me in the pool. And when I do finally get down to the pool, someone else steps in front of me." He's focused upon a physical solution. In other words, he is saying, if I could only get into the pool, if I could only get into the pool, all my problems would be gone. And how many times you've gone there? Oh, if only this would happen, then all my problems would be over. And that has happened. Did your problems disappear? No. Because the answer is not in a physical solution. The answer is a spiritual solution. And the man that could help him, the only one who could help him, was standing right before him, and his focus is upon a pool. And that's how it is today. He thought the pool would solve his problems. And he was blind. It was only real hope. Jesus Christ. So what's he doing? He's waiting. He's just waiting around the pool. Waiting for something to happen. That's the condition of many. Waiting around the pool. Just waiting for something to happen. And when it happens, I'll be better. There he is. Stuck at the pool. So I ask you this morning, what is your pool? Where is the place that you're stuck? The thing on which you are fixated. The false hope that takes your eyes off the Lord. Whatever your pool is, I believe Jesus, just like he did with this man, will meet you at your pool. And he'll ask you the same question. Are you willing to be made better? Are you willing to be made better? You know, that's also the same as the question, are you willing to do it my way? Because that's the only way you're getting better. Are you willing to let go of all your ways and do it my way? That's the question. Wilt thou be made whole? It seems like an unnecessary question. It seems like a foolish question. But if you have talked to many people at all that have problems, you realize that it's really not an unnecessary question. It's really not a foolish question. Because there are a lot of people whose lives are a wreck, and I'm convinced they don't want to get better. They don't really want to get better. And certainly not if it's going to be on the Lord's terms. So it wasn't a foolish question. It was a very direct question. Out of that whole multitude, Jesus is talking to one individual. And he asks him very directly, wilt thou be made whole? It's a very serious question. You'll notice that Jesus did not offer partial or temporary relief. He said, wilt thou be made whole? That's not partial. That's complete. That's not temporary. Jesus is here, and he can heal you. He can make you whole. And it's not partial. That's our problem today. We're interested in partial fixes. Want the Lord to fix this portion of our life, but Lord, leave this over here alone because I kind of like it there. Wilt thou be made whole? Yes or no question. And one of the greatest needs of this generation is for God's people to be made whole. Wilt thou be made whole? How will you respond to that question? Jesus not only came with a question, he came with a message. If you'll notice and recognize in your life that every time Jesus comes to you, he may come with a question concerning your desire, but he always comes with a message. And that's where we miss it many times. We don't hear the message. We don't hear what Jesus is saying to us for whatever reason. He came with a message. And it was a message for this man. It was a message for him personally. And wherever your pool is, Jesus is the solution. And he comes, and he comes with a message personally for you. And you need to hear the message. And his message was simple. His message had 3 points. And not a poem. 3 points. Rise. Rise. Get up. He can't. The man is debilitated. He can't get up. Jesus is telling him to do something that he could not do. So in order to do it, it would require what? Faith. And when Jesus said, rise, he rose. He stood up. And then notice, he says, take up thy bed. So there he is, he's standing there. And now Jesus says, pick up your bed. But I can't. But he believed. He believed the message. And he bent over and he picked up his bed. And then Jesus said, now walk. And notice he didn't tell him to walk toward the pool and jump in. Because that wasn't the solution. 3 things. 3 things that he could not do. But he believed the message. And that's where it is. That's how to get unstuck, if you will, from your pool. Jesus comes with a message. He tells you, and he tells you very plainly what he wants you to do. And instead of you saying, I can't, and blaming someone else, and coming up with excuse after excuse, just believe what he says and do it. And you'll have the same result that this man had. Verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole. And he took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. And we know the story. The religious leaders of the day, they reminded him that it was the Sabbath, that it was unlawful for him to be carrying his bed on the Sabbath. And I love what he says in verse 15. He told the Jews it was Jesus which had made him whole. In other words, it was Jesus that made me whole. It was Jesus that told me to rise, take up my bed and walk. So that's what I'm doing. I don't care what day it is. The
one that made me whole,
told me to do this. And I'm telling you tonight, today, the one who saved your soul,
he will come with a message. He will tell you what to do. You just do it. Just do what he says. Don't try to figure it out. Can you imagine? This man, there he is. He's been this way for 38 years. And Jesus says, get up. Can you imagine what could have gone through his mind? Well, how am I going to do that? And he'd sit there for days trying to figure it out. And that's what many of us do. The Lord tells you what to do. And you just sit around the pool trying to figure it out, trying to figure out how you're going to do it. Just do it. Because he said to. And that will prevent us from getting stuck in the pool. We can continue doing it our own ways if that's what you want to do. You live the rest of your life about around the pool, drag your kids around the pool, drag your grandkids around the pool, have your own family sitting around the pool, having a pity party, and live your life and die that way.